Well, I just get the sense that God wants to do things with us and in us and through us today. So let's just remain in that place of soft hearts before God and receive all that he has for us, right? And as Claire says, those of you who've been around, thank you, Paul. That was a lovely sound you were making. Those of you who've been around the last few weeks know that we've been thinking about what it means to grow, and specifically to grow in good character. As I was making some notes, I made a typo, and it said not just about growing in good character, it said growing in God character. And I realised that actually that's true as well, even though it was a typo that Microsoft Word can't pick up, because it recognises the word God and good, so it didn't underline it in red for me. But actually, as the more I think about it, what we're trying to do is develop God character in us so that we become more like Jesus. Just as a reminder to get us all on the same page, we've been looking at really focusing on this passage in Galatians 5, which talks about the fruit of the Spirit. So if you want to turn or flick or whatever you do on your either paper Bibles or electronic versions, we're just going to read this together as a starting point. So let's read this together. The Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. And we've been talking about this fruit, and what we've been saying is that actually it's not a gift, but it's actually what happens when we get the Holy Spirit in our lives. We expect something good to grow, that when we are connected to Jesus through the Holy Spirit, that we expect to find these things growing in our lives. So it's not about trying to produce fruit. What we're saying is, when I've got this Holy Spirit living in me, these are the things that will grow. And we're praying and believing as a church. Well, of course, we believe that being filled with the Holy Spirit is not something we do once, but it's something that we do on an ongoing basis. It's very much part of what we believe as charismatic, some people would call it, Christians, that we want to be filled with God's Holy Spirit. And as part of that, we believe that we are growing in all the good things that God has and is doing with us. Last week, those of you here will know Roger Bretherton, our friend, was talking about growing in humility. And one of the things he said was that humility is a gateway attitude. And humility opens the door in our lives to learning, and specifically, I believe, growing in good character. So all these things we're talking about are all linked, they're all connected. And today, I'm just going to talk for a few minutes about two parts of the fruit of the Spirit: patience and kindness. They kind of go together, don't they? Patience speaks about our attitude, particularly towards people. Perhaps people who tick us off or wind us up or frustrate us, but really could be anybody. And Joyce Meyer says this: patience is not just the ability to wait, it's about how we behave while we're waiting. And I think that is really what I think I want to talk about this morning. Kindness, one definition says, selfless actions towards people who've done nothing to merit those actions. So let's have a think about patience and kindness this morning. First of all, let's have a look at patience. Now, I don't know about you, but when I say patience, there may be certain things that come to mind, certain circumstances, certain areas in your life. At the moment, you're all sat and we are church. I sometimes say we're in church. I suppose that's kind of true, but we are church together. And at the moment, I have to say you all look very holy and very righteous. But I'm just wondering whether at some points in the week you find yourself in circumstances where perhaps there are issues where you could be tempted to be impatient. And when I say this morning I'm going to talk about patience, I'd just like you to just have a think for a moment. You could perhaps have a moment just to talk to the person next to you. I would just want you to say to them what you think of when we think about patience, and perhaps there's an issue or the biggest challenge. It could be the biggest challenge that you personally feel, or it could be something that you think is generally a problem, if you don't want to make it too personal, with patience. Okay, so just say that very quickly to the person next to you. What do you think of patience and the biggest challenge for you personally, or perhaps in our culture, in our society? Just a moment, go. Okay, very good. Okay, that's enough therapy. Or perhaps that wasn't therapy. So I guess you've come up with some things. We won't do too much shouting. I'll tell you the four things which I felt this isn't a personal. These are just general ones. Okay, so these aren't issues. Number four for me was, any parents in the room who could relate to the issues that sometimes you might become a challenge with the whole issue of patience and toddlers. Anyone, is that an issue that sometimes some of us have faced, or have? Some of it's a long time ago, and we're very grateful that it's a long time ago. And I suppose after toddlers, we have teenagers. They perhaps have some issues that give us challenges with patience. Is that right? Anyone can identify with that? And those of us in the room who actually are at the other end of the scale, do we have issues with our parents who cause us times where we have to some issues of patience? So right from one end, I don't have that problem. Okay, what else have we got? Okay, I think another area, I don't know if anyone else came up with this, but I think supermarkets, and particularly supermarket queues. Has anyone found themselves with a modicum, perhaps a little tinsel of impatience in a supermarket queue? Anybody? There's a few people. Or just queues generally, to be honest. Queues themselves cause a little area of frustration. So supermarket queues might be an area. Anyone driving? Just driving. Is there anyone in the room who's noticed in them? Yes. There's a lot of people. It's all the ambulance men. All the paramedics this morning. Okay. Now we need to deal with issues of worry and anxiety as our impatient paramedics drive around our town. I think, yeah, most of us would probably identify with some area of challenge in that area. Now, I'm not sure if these are any particular order, but is there anyone in the room who could join with me in being a small amount of frustration with automated and call centres and customer services? And I don't know which is worse, when somebody says press 1 to go through to the whatever department, or when you can't do anything about it, or when you speak to someone and you can't understand anything they're saying. I don't know which is worse. I've no idea which is worse. Again, not going on the recording. But I think between us, we would agree that there are some. I don't know about you, but I think this is another of those circumstances where we find ourselves living in a world where the opportunity to become impatient is growing and growing and growing. So this kind of message comes at the right time. It's a timely message. And the other thing to say is, I think as we talk about patience, is this morning, I'm talking to each of us as individuals. If you're sat next to someone who you think may have some issues with patience, please keep your elbows to yourself in these next few moments. I know it's tempting to point out some areas, but just... you feel free to respond on your own. It might help you, Ronnie, to sit somewhere else in the room. I'm not sure. But my point is, let's keep our elbows. Let's think about how these issues affect us. Paul, when he's writing to the Corinthians, is talking about a practical expression of love. And he says, love is patient and love is kind. Very famous in weddings. And of course, we pray for Lisa and Jamie, who got married yesterday. So I know some people were involved in that. Just a quick point. And actually, I believe that as we think about how patience is tied up with all the other fruits of the Spirit, it's so key that it's part of the fact that love is patient and love is kind. I had a little poem, but I'm not going to use it today. So, patience. Well, actually, okay, I will. Claire and I were talking on the way home. When I was thinking about patience, there was a little poem that came to my mind. I don't know if it was God. I don't think it was, actually. I think it was too long in the car yesterday. But there's two versions of this poem. I think my mum taught me this. I can't remember. Okay, she knows the poem. So it goes something like this. It talks about patience as, patience is a virtue, possess it if you can. Seldom found in women, but never in a man. That's right. That was the version I was going to say, because there is another slightly confused version of that, isn't there, which perhaps is not so accurate. But actually, I don't think there is a gender issue when we talk about patience. I think we'd all agree that it's something that we'd like to grow in. So, patience. Definition of patience. The right attitude in an angry world. And, of course, patience is not all about anger, but we can't talk about patience without mentioning anger. We've just looked at some of the things, but in our society, in our culture, the whole thing of road rage, in our families, parenting, marriages, injustice and pain, it's so easy to replace the love, joy and peace with frustration and indignation. The statistics report in the NHS, so it must be reliable, talks about anger and says that 45% of people regularly lose their temper at work. 1 in 20 have had conflicts with their neighbours. Apparently the UK has the worst road rage, I don't know how that's measured, in the world, apart from South Africa. 50% of the people in the population have tried to resolve PC or IT problems by hitting it. Some people in this room that work in IT, so that's a challenge. And one of the things that the statistics talk about is the fact that anger is getting more and more prevalent in younger people. But we know it's not inevitable, and we don't have to become part of that. I'm going to teach you a Greek word. If you know it already, I'm not going to teach you a Greek word. But the Greek word that's used in the Bible for patience is makrothumia. Makrothumia, apparently. So just say that together. Makrothumia. Makrothumia. Very good. And this word in the Old Testament literally means to be long-tempered or long-suffering. And it's kind of like, if you think of it in terms of having a short fuse, it's exactly the opposite of that. So when we're reading this word patience in the Bible, then this is what it means. So in the Old Testament particularly, you know, there's lots of occasions where God's people are not doing the things that he's told them to. They're getting things messed up. They're getting things wrong. And it says that he held back his anger and he was patient with them. That's this word. Makrothumia. I'm never going to remember it. Makrothumia. In Hebrews, it talks about, it says, then Abraham waited patiently. So basically, he had a long fuse, if you like, or a long suffering, and he received what God had promised. And in another verse in the end of James, it says, have patience, or as we wait for Jesus to come back. Sorry, have patience as we wait for Jesus to come back. And again, it's the same kind of sense of long suffering or waiting, having like a long fuse. The truth is that some of the things in this world are not going to be put right until Jesus comes back, are they? So if that's what patience is, I kind of think if we're talking about these things of growing good character, we need to think a bit practically about what that means. So just got a little kind of acrostic thing which nearly works. So it's all about keeping calm, okay? And this works fine on the recording. Actually, it doesn't quite. So, very practically, thinking about growing good character and patience, four very quick things. The first one is this: keep control. In Proverbs 16, verse 32, it says, "Better to be patient than to be powerful. Better to have self-control than to conquer a city." And then another verse in Proverbs says, "A self-confident fool utters all his anger, but a wise man or woman holds it back and stills it." So it's this sense that it's in our capabilities, it's possible. The times when we're becoming impatient or frustrated, the practical piece of advice is keep control. Better to be patient than to be powerful. It's a possibility. And it's something that we can do. I guess the modern translation, if you're feeling that you want to go grr or ah, is to put a sock in it. That would be a kind of reflection of a kind of modern version of this, wouldn't it? So keep control. A is ask why. Psychologists tell us that often it's not the actual incident that we get that causes people to become angry or impatient. Often it's incidents either side of that. So there's a whole string, there's a whole build-up, there's some things that have happened before. And so actually a good question to ask is why? It can be that we're carrying a sense of hurt or unforgiveness or challenges to do with other things. And if we can identify why, then we can do something about it. We can say, God, where is this coming from? The L is, I like this, is let it go. I heard someone say that actually things like issues of impatience and anger, it's rather like if someone asks you to, you know, you're having a barbecue, someone asks you to hold for a moment one of the coals. So you're kind of holding it, and one hand's a bit hot, and the other hand's a bit hot. And actually, things like this anger stuff, what we actually do, if we're not careful, is we don't actually let it go, we just keep on holding it. So we just toss it from one hand to the other, and actually it's making a bit of a mark. It's not doing us any good. It's actually, causing us pain as well. So let it go. I think there's a song about that as well, Let It Go, isn't there? So, for some of the younger, I won't sing it. M, and this is probably the thing we don't do very often, is it's all about making plans to resolve the issue. Because often we find ourselves in cycles, habits, things where we don't go back and make a change. So keep in control, ask why, let it go, and perhaps put something in place to make some plans to change. So if patience is the right attitude in an angry world, then what's kindness look like? Well, there's lots of definitions of kindness, aren't there? The one I'm thinking about today is the right action in a selfish world. So if patience is about an attitude, then kindness is about an action. Now, I know kindness is an attitude as well, but today I'm mainly thinking about actions. So kindness is a quality of being friendly, generous, and considerate. Now, within this room today, there's lots of examples of kindness, I believe. And I believe as a church, it's one of the things that marks us out, that we would say we want to be we want to have kindness to be one of the hallmarks of what we're about, not just individually, but as who we are of church. That's why things spring out of us that mean we want to express that kindness, not just to one another, but in the community as well. Things like food bank, you know, what undergirds all of that? It's all about kindness, isn't it? It's all about recognizing a need and do something about it. One of the scriptures that Roger mentioned last week was Micah 6:8. Says this: He has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? To do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. These things are all connected, aren't they? They're all linked together. To love kindness and to walk humbly. And I guess if the starting point for thinking about kindness is that effectively it's a product straight from God's heart to us, isn't it? I love this verse in Titus. It says, when God our Saviour revealed his kindness and love, he saved us, not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. Say that again. When God our Saviour revealed his kindness and love, he saved us. So how do we understand kindness? Well, the fact that God sent Jesus. So when we look at, when we want to think of the kindness of God, what do? We look at Jesus. Here's a great verse, Ephesians 1, 2 verses, 7 and 8. It says this: He is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his Son and forgave our sins. He has showered his kindness on us along with all wisdom and understanding. He has showered his kindness on us. So next time, I don't know if you ever just pause for a moment. I love this image of showering down God's kindness. So I don't know if anyone was outside in the rain yesterday when there was a shower. But next time you're in a shower of rain, you get caught, just allow that image just to remind you what God is doing. It's not a drizzle. It's not just a few specks. It's a shower of God's grace and his kindness and his love. And that's the best example that we have of kindness, of course. These days, people have baby showers, don't they? And what are we effectively doing there? We're showering down gifts on the baby or on the mum or on the families. That's what we're doing. We're showering down gifts. And it's kind of like the same thing, isn't it? That God is showering down his grace and his love and his kindness. Because the truth, as we all know, is that we don't deserve it. There's nothing that we have done or could do to earn God's favour and his kindness. And that's why it's so kind. It's good news. The end of this verse we read in Galatians, it says, there is no law against these things. And there's some things that we talk about together as the family of God that there's parts of our society and the world don't actually get, aren't there? But kindness is something that everyone benefits from and everybody wants. Rick Warren says this: our world knows very little about genuine kindness. It knows an enormous amount about cruelty. What our world needs is a massive dose of kindness. Those of you like game shows or competitions, then Hebrews 10 verse 24 talks a little bit about kindness. It says, in response to all he has done for us, so our response to the God showering down his grace and kindness upon us, let us outdo each other in being helpful and kind to each other and in doing good. Now there's a competition, isn't there, right there? Of course, it's not out of selfish ambition. It's because the Bible tells us to. But do you like the idea that as God's people that we try and outdo each other in that sense of giving kindness to one another? That's if we're going to have an ambition, if we're going to have set ourselves a target, then perhaps that's not a bad one to enter into. And I think with kindness, it comes obviously in lots of different formats. And if I start giving you some examples, then we might pigeonhole the whole exercise. But sometimes you can taste, literally, physically taste kindness, can't you? Those of you who've had cakes baked or the famous flapjack, perhaps, is one way that kindness, you can express and taste kindness. There are physical things that we receive which are representations of that, but so much more as well. And I think with this thing about kindness, it's really about finding what our key for kindness looks like. And there are so many examples. As I was thinking about this whole thing of kindness, we obviously find ourselves in political party season, don't we? And I must admit, I've not caught up with all of that just yet. But actually, as I started to think and just dream a little bit, perhaps it's one of the things that fanciful preachers do when they start thinking about things for too long, I'm not sure. But I just started to wonder and think, actually, rather than some of the political manifesto commitments and promises, that actually, what would it look like if we upped our level of kindness? What could really change the world? You know, would it have something connected to kindness? And actually, the more I think about it, my response to kindness comes really from that whole sense of God showering down his kindness on me. And how do we respond? Well, patience and kindness are a lovely combination, aren't they? They go together. And just imagine what it would look like if these two things, these two fruit, grew in such abundance in our lives. What an unimaginable harvest we would have. I found out something that I thought was quite interesting. The early church, who were, of course, living in the days of the Roman Empire, had an interesting problem. The Greek word for Jesus was Christos. The Greek word for kindness was Krestos. It actually is only one word, one letter different. And the Romans got confused. They started calling the Christians the people of Krestos, which was the people of kindness. And they hadn't connected them to Jesus, but they had connected them with their kindness. And I don't know about you, but I want people to know, yes, that I'm connected to Jesus, but I also want them to know, if they notice that I'm connected to kindness, then perhaps that points them in the right direction. And this patience and kindness stuff, well, you can't do it by willpower, although willpower is required. You can't do it by trying harder, although trying harder is required. We can't do it by changing our thinking, although the ongoing renewing of our mind by the Holy Spirit is required. We can only produce the fruit of the Spirit by having the presence of the Spirit living within us, so that we recognize that part of the consequence of saying yes to Jesus is that we have the Holy Spirit living, dwelling, part of our lives. And what's already inside will continue to grow. And we can see our families and our communities changed for the glory of God.